Good evening. It's good to see all of you here again this evening. And we're going to look at Proverbs, as I'm sure that you have figured out by now. We're going to continue looking at Proverbs in a little bit more depth here this evening. I don't want to scare you, though. We're not going to go through every line on this paper. I'm going to make it as easy as I can for you. But last time we talked about an introduction to Proverbs, and I kind of laid out the overview of the book of Proverbs and really made a case last time for the need to recognize context in Proverbs. That Proverbs has actually a lot of cohesion, and there's a flow and there's a reason for the order of Proverbs. And that's the case that I made last time. What I'd like to do tonight is to look at the tools that I use to study the book of Proverbs. How do I look at a chapter and try to understand how things are put together? And we'll look at that here this evening. Let's begin with a word of prayer so that the Lord can help us all this evening. Father, thank you so much for your word and the clarity that you give to it. Help us, Lord, this evening as we look into the book of Proverbs. Lord, use me, but only as a vessel for your words. Help us all to get excited about your word and want to study it for ourselves. And thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I think the big thing to start with is the initial perspective that we need to have when we come to the book of Proverbs. I think that a lot of times what I see a lot of people doing is they bring their experiences, all their life experiences, and they come to the book of Proverbs and they open it up and see, that's what was going on there, and they just validate everything that they learned through experience. And they take this proverb and they justify everything that they've done in their life. And they say, look, I was right. Proverbs shows that I was right. Unfortunately, that's not how we should approach any piece of scripture. And I don't think they're doing it intentionally. But I see a lot of even commentators will do this with the book of Proverbs. How do we approach this book? Like any other book of the Bible, what we need to do is we need to say, what does it say? And maybe I'm wrong. And maybe the way I think is wrong. And let me see if I can understand what God would have me to think. And then we start to see things and we start to find things. The big picture, if I were to say to you, what is the main topic of Proverbs, what would you say? I heard somebody whisper it over there. Wisdom. Right? It would say wisdom. In fact, that's correct. The word wisdom is found in every chapter of the book in some form, either wise or wisdom or wisely. In some form, that word is used throughout the whole book in each chapter. I have found, and this is not a comprehensive study that I've done yet, but as I study the book, I find that more frequently the concept of righteousness comes up, which kind of makes sense. This is really a book about righteousness. So we think of Proverbs as the book of wisdom. But what is wisdom? A godly wisdom is righteousness, living a godly life. Because God is all wise. He's the wisest of any. And so it makes sense. This is really about teaching us about wisdom and righteousness. Now, that's the big concept. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is. So we have this concept of wisdom. We have this concept of righteousness. And in Hebrew poetry, which we'll talk a little bit about in a little bit, we have the opposite as well. So we have wisdom as talked about, and the opposite would be foolishness. We see a lot of talk about foolishness. We see righteousness. We see also a lot of talk about wickedness, right? So we have these four concepts are going to be the major overarching picture: wisdom, foolishness, righteousness, and wickedness. Okay? Now, as we look into a specific chapter, what I see over and over again, and it's confusing to me why they do this, but commentators that I have looked at, and I'm still trying to find somebody who I could really recommend. There are a couple of people who I could talk to you about that I reference, but what they'll do is they'll take a section of Proverbs and they'll say, this is about wisdom and foolishness contrasted. They're not wrong, but so is the rest of the book of Proverbs. So it's not a super helpful title. They'll say righteousness and wickedness contrasted, the righteous versus the wicked. Fair enough. So is the rest of the book. So what I'm really interested in when I look at the book of Proverbs is I'm looking at this section. I say, what do I learn about wisdom in this section? What do I learn about righteousness in this section of Proverbs? Okay, so there are some conventions that happen in the book that I think are important. One is around the tongue. Now, you notice on the front of your page here, I have things color-coded. There are a couple of sections about the mouth. The book of Proverbs uses the tongue, the lips, the mouth interchangeably. Sometimes it will use other words for speech, but it's talking about the words that we say. Unlike some of the other topics in the book, there's not a place I can point to and say that's the place in Proverbs that talks about the words we say, that talks about the tongue. It's actually scattered throughout the whole book. There are places that are 5, 6, 7, 8 verses that all have something in them about what we say in a group. But that there's not just one of those. There are multiple of those. Because I think what's happening here is the words that we say are connected to every area of life. They're important in every stage of life. They're important. The words that other people say, we need to take carefully and considerately. We also need to be careful about the words that we say. And sometimes the mouth is a little member, we know, but it's powerful what the mouth can do. And so we have to be very careful of that. And that's throughout the whole book of Proverbs. You'll have these little pieces of wisdom around the mouth. Now, what I think Solomon is doing here, and I'll use his name. Again, this is inspired scripture. This is God's word. But a lot of Solomon's personality comes out, so I'll use his name. I'll say Solomon, as he is setting these Proverbs in order, I think what he's doing in a lot of cases, not every case, is he's taking this idea of the mouth and the words we say and using it as a bridge to tie two different concepts together. We actually see that down here in our handout here. We have riches and honor. So if you look in verses 20 down through 29, there's this concept of riches. Then we have a verse about the mouth. Okay, that verse is 25. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. And then we have a concept of honor. These are two concepts that are different, and we're transitioning from this idea of riches to this idea of honor. And so what happens is Solomon is putting this connection between these two concepts. And sometimes he'll do it where he's building up and there's overlapping proverbs that have both the mouth and whatever the previous concept was, and then he uses the mouth and just continues conceptually into the next section. Another convention that we have is the sun. So remember last time we talked about the first mention at the beginning of each section in chapters 1 through 9, we had the sun. Over and over again, with the exception of chapters 8 and 9, it says, my son, hear my words, and so forth. And so we see the same thing happening in the panorama here in chapters 10 to 24. We see the son as a key to say maybe what follows is a new idea. So if we see the son, it's probably a big deal, and we need to pay attention that maybe there's a shift in thought here. That happens throughout the book to a degree. Okay, we have chapter 14 in front of us, and I think it'd be valuable for me just to share a little bit why I chose chapter 14 for tonight to talk about how to study Proverbs. I think it'll help us as a refresher to what we learned last time and to see why what we're looking at and why I chose this. So remember I talked about chapters 25 to 29 being easier to study. And actually, if you're going to study Proverbs, I recommend starting in chapters 25 through 29. And the reason is, if you remember, let's go there, Proverbs chapter 25. And the beginning of that chapter, it says in verse 1 of Proverbs 25, these are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. And so these were not set in order by Solomon himself. They were set in order by the scribes of King Hezekiah. And what I find is that it's actually, they're simpler. As I started to look, I was going to originally look at chapter 25. But I started to realize that the tools that I use, it doesn't cover everything. It doesn't cover all of the Hebrew poetry. It doesn't use all of these same tools because it's simpler. So 25 to 29 are easier. So I wanted to take a chapter that I could show you, you know, everything that you need to know to study the whole book. So I was left to go to the panorama. Now, the panorama, if you remember from last time, is a picture of life, starting with the novice and going all the way through life to older age and maturity. So the earlier chapters, they would be too chaotic, as the young novice is all over the place. He doesn't know what he wants, and he doesn't know how to get it. And so there's a linguistic picture of that, and we can. There's certainly order there. We could look at that. But as you're painting a picture in words of an early life, what Solomon's really doing in chapters 10, 11, 12 is really showing you what naivety looks like. And so we have to, I thought it'd be better to come to something a little more established. But if we go too far into the panorama, we get into chapters 18, 19, 20, things get very philosophical and layers. There's a certain level of maturity that's expected in those chapters. And there are layers of concepts that go across chapter borders. It gets very heavy. There's a lot that I have not figured out in those chapters that I know is there. So chapter 14 it is. And chapter 14 is actually conceptually, the concept is the heart. I've titled chapter 14 Matters of the Heart. And hopefully we'll kind of get hints of why I've done that here. And I know that I'm going very deep, but I think it's valuable. Some of you may be a little bit lost, and I recognize that. And I think I'll just share these tools, and hopefully some of you will take this and get excited about it and be able to use some of these things. Okay, so that's why we're going to look at chapter 14. There's a little bit that we have to talk about Hebrew poetry. So Hebrew poetry has some conventions and some basic things we need to know. When we think about English poetry, it has to rhyme. So we have words at the end of a phrase will rhyme, they'll sound the same. And we'll have two phrases, and the end of each phrase will rhyme. In Hebrew poetry, it's concepts that rhyme, not necessarily sounds. And so what they'll do is they'll take an idea, and then they'll have a complementary idea that conceptually rhymes with the first idea. And so that's called parallelism, because you can have two things that are alike, or you can have two things that are opposite, and they will both be rhyming in a sense. If you flip your handout over, an example of this parallelism, we think of it in just a single proverb. But we find in Hebrew poetry that sometimes it goes across multiple proverbs. And what we have in chapter 14 is the first 20 verses are a set of parallels. And that's what I have outlined here. We have verses 1 through 10 is in one column, and next to it is verses 11 through 20. And this is a parallel passage. It is a proverb within a proverb. And what we have, what I've highlighted in blue, is the word that connects these two proverbs. Some of them are very obvious, house in verse 1, house in verse 11. Some of them are a little bit more loose, a little bit harder to see, is this really connected? But we do have a connection all the way through those verses. So we have parallels. This is called parallelism. The other kind of Hebrew poetry that is used is called the chiastic. C-H-I-A-S-T-I-C, chiastic. And a chiastic kind of poem is one that goes up one side and down the other. So it's like a pyramid. You build up to a climax, and then you come down the other side. And often in this chiastic style of poetry, we're taking one idea and translating it or turning it into another idea. So it's a little more advanced of a kind of poetry, but we have that here in chapter 14 because we have it in verses 21 to 32, and that you have on the back of your handout there as well. And what this is doing is it's taking the concept of despising and turning it into the fear of the Lord. So we have in verse 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. And we go through the chiastic up the pyramid. We get to the top, and at the peak we have in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And so these Proverbs are building on one another to convert this one idea into the other. On the other side, we have a couple of things going on. The simplest that I found is this idea of taking the snare, which catches you in verse 27, and then that gets turned into, in verse 32, driving away. So these are sort of opposite ideas. Catching, in being caught in a snare and being driven away are opposite ideas. They're both negative, but there's a progression of thought, destruction, rottenness, reproach, and then being driven away. And so that's what I see there. And feel free to disagree with anything I say. I don't really have any fellow scholars to look to say, am I right? Because no one else is doing this. So maybe I'm wrong. And I'm totally fine with that. I would love if you would come up to me afterwards and say, well, I think I'm seeing this other thing in this book. No one has challenged me at all in Proverbs, unfortunately, so I look forward to that day. So, something of note here then, the last three verses in this chiastic is the beginning of another parallel group, which I have highlighted here on this side of your handout as well. So now we have a sound heart is the life of the flesh is a title in verse 30. For a parallel passage, and now we have verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. And that's, so we have first the motive of the heart, and then we have the result. And so what we have is that's connected. We have both a chiastic and a parallel passage of Proverbs. And this is what's going on. Often in the book of Proverbs, we'll find multiple patterns overlaying each other. This chapter 14 is completely connected and could not miss one proverb and have all of this still work, because those two that are highlighted in blue, verses 20 and 21, are what we call a proverb pair. So often you'll have two proverbs that are very similar, that are two sides of the coin. So what do we have? We have the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. That's one side of the coin, so to speak. On the other side is verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. So first you have one who is hated of his neighbor. Then you have the other side, which is the person who despises his neighbor. And these two proverbs are a pair. They work together. They are the opposites of each other. So what that means is we have, from the beginning of this chapter to the end of this chapter, every proverb is connected to another proverb. And if you were to take any one proverb out of here, none of this wouldn't work. So I think it's profound, and I think that it is important that we recognize every word in the book of Proverbs, and really in the whole Bible, is important, that we recognize that it belongs there and that there's an order to it. So we talked about the types of poetry. Something that I see Solomon do a lot in the book of, especially in the Panorama, is concept layering. We kind of hinted at this a little bit, where there's an idea that overlays another idea. And one proverb will have three, four different topics maybe going on at the same time. So we have on the front of your handout there, you have this idea of lies near the top there, and next to it is understanding. And you can see that there are two proverbs there that talk about both the words that we say and about knowledge and understanding. And so now we have these two concepts that are overlapping each other, but they're not fully in line with each other. So what's happening is it's like a tapestry. It's like a painting. As you go across the book, you find that everything is connected, and you'll find these kinds of patterns like this. And then this third column that I have here, there are more layers than what I have shown, but This third column just represents what's on the back of the handout, just so that you can kind of get a sense of where that would fit here, if you're interested in that. Okay, so what are some of the techniques that I use to study this, and how do I find these patterns? There's really not much of a science to it. The first thing that I'll do is I'll count the words. I'll take an idea like the idea of wisdom, and maybe I'll make a spreadsheet, just a bunch of columns, and I'll mark the first column is about wisdom. The next one will be about righteousness. Now I'll take each one of those and I'll go down through a chapter. So verse 1, does it have the word wisdom in it at all? It does? Okay. I'll check that box. So it has the word prudence. That's enough like wisdom that it helps me, so I'm going to check a box. And I'll count all the places where wisdom appears in that chapter. Then I'll go to righteousness. Where are all the places that righteousness appears in the chapter? The upright, the just, these are all words that would relate to this idea of righteousness. So once I've done that and I go through and I might see some words in there, I might say, oh, this talks a lot about poor or rich or money, so let me add a column for that and see how many places that shows up. Sometimes I'll find a group of proverbs when I do that that work right there. I'll start to see, oh, these proverbs all work together and they're talking about riches, or they're talking about the heart in this case. So that's the first tool that I'll use. I just count all the words and the number of times they appear. But the next one, and the one that I find the most value in, is what I call a radius search. So we'll do that here, starting with verse 1. What we do is we'll pick a word, and we'll look around, just sort of with these proverbs next to it, we'll look for similar words that might relate to that word that might be nearby. So for example, we'll take the word wise here in verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house. So the word wise, so we look down through the following verses there. In verse 2, I don't see anything there about wise. I do see in verse 3 there's the word, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So there's one, but I don't see anything in 4. There's nothing there in 5. And so probably this was just something that, again, the main concept of the book is wisdom, so that word's going to appear a lot of times. So I don't think there's much of a pattern there. But let's go to the next word, the word woman. So we take the word woman. Is there anything else we have that would be similar in verse 2? I don't see anything there. In verse 3, don't really have anything there. So verse 4, I don't see. So I think there's nothing that now. Doesn't mean that that word isn't important. I'll talk in a bit about the importance of that word, but okay, so let's go to the next word, the word build. Now, this is a little bit cheating because you have it all highlighted for you, but the word build, what do we look for? Is there a word that's like building? Well, think about the concept of the proverb. Let's read the proverb. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So obviously in our proverb, the opposite is plucking down, okay? So this is an idea, an abstract idea of building a house. Does a woman build a house or pluck down a house physically? Have you ever seen a woman go to their house and start plucking it down? No. This is a metaphor for an idea of your life. We're not talking about a building, we're talking about your life. So then you come to verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. So when we're talking about building a life, walking is very, a lot like building a life. And so is the word way there. Then we have this word preserve in verse 3 that I think fits that. This idea of a life that we can have, that we can stay built. We're not plucking it down, we're preserving it. Okay, and then we have this idea in verse 4 of the oxen and the increase. Okay, increase is important, and the concept of verse 4 is that there's work getting done. So these all kind of connect. And so now we have a group of proverbs that work together to tell a little bit of a story. So that's kind of how I find these groups. Really, all it is, I'm just looking at the text. That's what this is all about, is to look at the text and see what I can learn. Okay. Another thing I would do is look for anything that's repeated. So if I see something in the chapter that's repeated. I'll show you one here that I have not figured out how it connects, and that's verses 5 and 25. So verse 5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Verse 25 says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. These are very similar proverbs, and there's certainly a reason that they're there, but I'm not quite sure. Now, I'll tell you the thing that gave away the chiastic for me was verses 26 and 27. I found this repeated phrase, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And then verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, depart from the snares of death. So these two proverbs, it's the phrase was repeated, the fear of the Lord. I said, there's something here. And so that gave me a clue to start to look in that area to see what I might find. So repeated phrases are often very helpful to figure things out. We see the same thing down in 30 and 33. We see the heart there. It's the same word used. We look for it. What is the pattern that I'm finding here? When we're going to study an individual proverb, it's important to spend some time thinking about what it means. So my process for looking at one proverb is to reread the proverb and then look up any words that I might not understand. Make sure I understand every word. And we'll look in Strong's Concordance and make sure I understand what's really being said. And then I think about that proverb from different perspectives. We see in chapter 29 of Proverbs that there are many perspectives that we should be looking at things from. And Proverbs as poetry, it's hard to know, do I have the right idea if I'm only coming from my own experience? What is it really saying? What are the implications of this proverb? So if I'm only thinking at it from my perspective, I probably won't learn much. So what I like to do is I like to imagine myself being alive in the time of Solomon, back in the days of the Bible, and looking at this, and who would the characters be, and how would they see this? So sometimes I'll say the king. How would a king read this? If I was a king, and I came to verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Okay, so we know that this is a woman building her house, not a man. If it was a man, well, the man would just, it would be hammer and nails, build the house, walk away. But because it's a woman building the house, there's a depth that goes into this. There's a significance to this. Why is the woman building the house? Because when a woman builds a house, she builds a home. She builds a life. It's the day-to-day. It's all the things that go into a house. It's not just the walls that go up, but a woman really builds a life there. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And this is the idea that little by little, we're either building our life in a good direction or we're tearing it down little by little. So as a king, I might look at this and say, well, it's really important that women in the kingdom are able to build their homes and have the tools that they need to do that. Now, I might come at it from another perspective. I might come at it from a father's perspective. Sometimes I'll do the father, and I'll say, okay, so every wise woman buildeth her house. Okay, so as a father and a husband, well, then I had better be making sure that I'm providing the resources for her to build the house, and I'm doing what I can so that that she has the resources she needs, and so forth. And then I might take another view, like the advisor to the king or a servant. And I think about these different things. The next phase then is to take this into your life. Do you have a career in an industry? Are you a carpenter? Are you a mechanic? Are you an architect? You take that career and you say, how would I understand this proverb through that lens? So I'm a technologist, so I think about things through the lens of technology sometimes. I'll say, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And I'll say, well, In technology, we need to make sure that we're building the right things. We need to make sure that the resources that we're providing are the right things, that we're building the tools that people need in the way that they need them. We don't want to be building something the wrong way, or we don't want to leave things out and just start to make people upset by not meeting their needs. We want to make sure that we're building the right set of resources. And so it helps me to think back, am I building the right resources in the technology space that I'm in? So we start to do that, and we start to see there's real value in looking at a proverb at this depth. Okay, what I'd like to do now is look at these proverbs. Real quickly, we'll go through the first 10, 11 verses here. And I hope to show you the progression of thought. So just follow me on this. We'll hopefully get to a place where we can to get some real value out of this here. So verse 1, we talked about a little bit. There's this idea of building a home, building a life. Verse number 2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. There's no real cause and effect here. There's a comparison. If you're walking in uprightness, you're fearing the Lord. This idea of fearing the Lord and walking in uprightness are put together in such a way that I say, okay, these are, if I see someone that's walking in their uprightness, they're fearing the Lord. If I see someone who's fearing the Lord, they're walking in uprightness. It's equating those. And that's important as we're building a life, that we're walking in the fear of the Lord and in uprightness. Then we have the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So now we have this idea of pride. Pride is an attitude. There's this rod of pride, this attitude that is just foolish. Things you say just come out of your mouth. You don't think anything of it. Is that building your house or is plucking it down? That's kind of this plucking down of your life. Okay? So we need to be careful about the things we say and who we say them to and how we say them, those kinds of things. Verse number 4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. So here, this is interesting. Imagine, we don't have oxen so much today. It's a little hard to imagine that, but we do have tractors. So imagine you had a tractor and you kept it in. It was a brand new, polished, clean tractor. And you put it in the barn and you closed the door and you said, I have this beautiful green tractor. And then your neighbor comes over and you say, let me show you my tractor. Okay, so you go into the barn and you show him this beautiful green tractor. And then harvest time comes around, you go out and start digging up your field with a shovel. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You have the tractor, but it's clean. That's the idea here, is this idea of this, the crib can be clean, and there's no work getting done. There's no oxen there. That's fine, but so there's a diligence that comes along with that. There's this idea of diligence. But also resource management, because here it says no oxen. So there's a lot more we could get into there. Then we have verse 5, and this baffled me at first, because it says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. It's not a very profound proverb. Basically what it's saying is, someone who lies, lies, and someone who doesn't lie, doesn't lie. So it's not very deep. But in the position that it's in here, building up to it, we have this, we're talking about building a life, we're talking about building a life that is not built on pride, that is built on integrity and the fear of the Lord. We're going to come across people who lie, and we're going to come across temptation to lie. And so we have to make sure that the words that we say, again, are helpful and edifying. Then we have a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. This idea of a scorner seeking wisdom, if you have an attitude of scorning, that you say, oh, that person, they don't know what they're talking about, okay? You're not going to learn from anybody, because if you're scorning, you won't learn. So the scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. If you have an attitude of scorning, you'll never find wisdom, okay? But knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. So we're building this life. We recognize that there are lies to encounter, And there are people to listen to. And we want to make sure that we're listening to them. Look in verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So we have this idea, I want to be careful about my attitude in searching for wisdom, and I want to be careful who I'm listening to. Okay, verse number 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. It's important to do some self-reflection, to look at my own steps. Where is my way? As I build this life, am I actually building it in the right way? Am I going the right direction? This is an important question that we need to ask. The folly of fools is deceit. That is to say, you can fool yourself into thinking that, well, it's just the world is just has just done this to me. I'm in this situation. There's nothing I can do about it. That's foolishness. Then we have verse 9. Fools make mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Again, we have this idea of an attitude of mocking sin, joking and carrying on. Just enjoying conversation or jokes about sin, it's sort of an attitude. And you're starting to notice maybe that there's this concept of an attitude that keeps appearing in this section. And I've titled this section, there's a section that goes from verse 1 through verse 9 that I've titled Attitude, that doesn't go all the way to verse 10, that deals with attitude. But we don't have... It's a more abstract group because there's not a word that I can point to really in each verse to say this is talking about attitude. But as we think about each proverb, we start to see there's an attitude. And that's because we're building up to the heart. So as we go along here, we see then verse 10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. See, this attitude that we see in our lives as we're building our lives all comes down to a heart issue. And the thing about the heart that is revealing here is we have the heart knoweth his own bitterness. A stranger doth not intermeddle. Somebody that's outside of your heart cannot reach in and change it. Your heart is deep inside of you. If you desire something, somebody else cannot just come and take that desire away from you. If you desire to love God, nobody else can come over to you and make you not desire God. It's very deep. It says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. I think that's the idea here. Then we have verse 11, and this is, I think, really profound. This is what I want to get to here. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And I think there's the way that I see this, and it may be a unique view to me, I don't know, but when I see this building up from the house, we have the house at the beginning of verse 1, here we have the house again. We're building a house, we're building a house, we're building a house. That's what all of this is for. That's what all of life is. I'm going to build this house. Then we come to verse 11, it says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. Because we're not supposed to be building a house. And I think this is a beautiful picture of what we learn in Proverbs. If we come to Proverbs with an open mind, it's going to turn everything we think upside down. It's going to turn our whole way of thinking upside down because the sin nature in us wants to think of things in a certain way. I want to build a house. Okay, I want to build the best house I can build. I'm going to build it according to the Lord. I'm going to fear the Lord and build the house. And he comes to verse 11, he says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. This is especially true for the New Testament believer. We have, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost in us if we're born again. And so we should not be building a house, we should be building a tabernacle. I think it's so profound. I think it's this idea that we focus so much in our lives on doing things and building things in a way that is the best way that we can see how to do it. And what God really wants is he wants us to build a dwelling place for him in our lives, with every part of our lives. And so I think it's a profound thing. There's a lot in this. This chapter is so rich, and it's just one of the many chapters in Proverbs that have this kind of level of thought-provoking content in it. I don't know if this has encouraged the majority of you. Hopefully it has. But I really have enjoyed the study of Proverbs and will continue to. I hope to make maps like this so that those who are interested can take this kind of content and use it in their personal study of the Word. So that is all I have for tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for this opportunity to look into it. Help us, Lord, to grow ever closer to an understanding of the things that you have shared with us in your Word. Help us to be more like you each day. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.